Welcome to the jungle. We start our second of 3 hours. Nice to have you here. A program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I am Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. Coming up next hour, the head football coach at Navy, Ken and Nia Matalolo, will be joining us. Phone number is toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. Your phone call is coming up a little bit later on, but right now we are joined by a Yahoo Sports columnist, a New York Times bestselling author, co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast. He is a Busch Light ambassador. He's a friend of the program. He is Dan Wetzel. Dan, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. So you were at Madison Square Garden Saturday night for UFC 244, the BMF fight, Dan, between Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz. Let me start with Masvidal. When you consider where he was only a few years back, how amazing is it that this guy was being walked to the cage by Roberto Duran and getting a belt put on him by The Rock?
Yeah, amazing. You know, it's 2 years ago he fought it at UFC 217 at Madison Square Garden, lost to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson kind of decisively. And I remember that fight and just thinking, you know, Masvidal, he's just another guy. Like, he's a tough guy, likes to fight, but, you know, just a good fighter, but that was going to be it. And 2 years later, he is now right there at the top of the sport. This huge event, beats Diaz, very impressive performance across those three rounds. And now he's sitting there in the mix of, does he fight Conor McGregor? Does he go after an actual title? Is there a rematch with Diaz? All of those are mega money fights. And in just 2 years, really 1 year, he took off. And then this year with three victories, he's run into the elite of this. And I think he'll be extremely popular going forward. He really used, more than any other fighter yet, the ESPN-UFC partnership to promote himself before this fight. He was on ESPN more than Stephen A. Smith, I think, in the last couple weeks. And so he's doing what he's got to do, and then he came out and delivered in the octagon with a really, really good performance.
Dan Wetzel is joining us. In fact, Masvidal, Dan, called it his Picasso, and it's kind of hard to argue that point. What was your reaction when the doctor called the fight because of that cut? Did the doctor get that call right?
Well, you know, I'm not a doctor, Jim. I play one on TV.
Right.
I don't know. I would have liked to have seen the fight. I did not, from my vantage point, the cut wasn't getting worse over the fight. I don't think that fight gets stopped. Let me put it this way. I don't think that fight gets stopped in California. I don't think it gets stopped in Las Vegas. I think they keep going. It's a very similar to cut than what Diaz had when he defeated Conor McGregor. He gets cut up there. It's the same cut almost every single time. Was it ugly? Was it a big cut? Yes. There's a little bit of just the problem of the promotion of MMA and the ethos of MMA and then the reality of a doctor. I mean, we're fighting for the BMF title. The first word's baddest, the second's mother. You can figure out the entire thing on your own. And yet it gets stopped. So it was a disappointment. You want to see that thing end. And particularly with Nate Diaz, whose strategy in fights, because of his almost always superior cardio, is to just keep pushing. And late in the fight, he's going to take it. He has huge surges late in fights. He figures out timing of guys. Other guys get tired. So as much as I take nothing from Masvidal, because he was brilliant, and getting a fight stopped because a cut is part of the strategy. You keep hitting a guy in the cut in hopes that that happens. But it was a little like a rainout where you won after seven rounds, but we never got to see the end. And you just don't know for sure. Probably Masvidal keeps winning that fight, but you don't know with Nate Diaz. So you can see where Nate's saying, hey, look, that fight didn't get stopped by technical knockout or knockout. It got stopped by a doctor. Give me a rematch. And I think there's enough of that where a lot of people would feel that way.
We are talking to Dan Wetzel. So what about that? I mean, Nate wants the rematch. Masvidal said that he's open to the idea, but Dana White does not like the idea of an immediate rematch. So how do you see that playing out?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't think Dana White ever likes when fighters are trying to decide who's going to fight next. So I wasn't surprised when he came in and said, yeah, let's pump the brakes on that. He also does not like to make fights on the night of the previous fight because you end up with emotion saying this is the best match. When it might be better for Masvidal to go for the actual title. It might be better for Masvidal to fight Conor McGregor. it might be better to set up Nate and Conor McGregor next summer for the trilogy that they've been waiting for. Nate Diaz has always given rematches, though, right? He gave McGregor a rematch. He's done it throughout his career. He's got two he's waiting on, Masvidal and Conor. Does he get one of those, particularly next summer? I think he's going to need to take some time off to heal up his face, try to get himself organized. But 6-7 months from now, absolutely, could he fight? Does he get one of those two fights? I think that's what's important. If the UFC continues to give him fights that interest him, they're going to keep this guy fighting. And he is a thrilling fighter. He is a popular fighter. He brings pay-per-view numbers. He brings attention. There's just something about watching him fight, whether he wins or loses, that works. And if you don't give him those fights, he'll go away. He just did a 3-year stint where he just decided not to fight because he wasn't interested. I'd hate to see that happen because I think the sport's more fun when Nate Diaz is in it. So which one does he get? I think he should get both of those rematches at some point, or he gets the winner of Conor and Masvidal or something like that if that goes down. But you basically have three guys now circling each other, and there's a lot of money at stake for all three of them. And there's one thing about Dana White, he likes money.
Dan Wetzel joining us. All right, so what about a possible fight, Dan, between Masvidal and Conor McGregor? And what did you make of Masvidal's reaction to that idea when it came up at the press conference?
Everybody wants to fight Conor McGregor because that's the biggest money, no question. McGregor returned. Masvidal, of course, starts taunting Conor because he wants to get Conor to react. So he's basically saying, I'll kill this little man. And direct quotes in MMA press conferences are not the best. This is not the Masters, right?
Not the Masters.
I'll have to paraphrase all quotes from MMA. I mean, we literally fought for a belt that had a swear in it. So not easy to write, Jim. Not easy.
No, it's not. Or to talk about.
Yeah. It is like, the right reader knows, but still a family website. Anyway, look, I think Masvidal has the size advantage. Masvidal is a legit welterweight right now. He has fought at lightweight, but not, I think, like 2015 or 14. He's a legit welterweight, 170-pounder. And you saw that against Nate. Nate is a hybrid lightweight 155, welterweight 170. He's better at welterweight, especially now in his 30s. But he's a lanky guy. Masvidal is bigger. Conor is a lightweight that has shown a willingness to fight at welterweight because he wanted to fight Nate Diaz. So he will absolutely have the size advantage over Conor McGregor. I don't think that's a great fight for Conor McGregor, but it is a very wealthy fight for Conor McGregor. And McGregor is a guy who tends to believe he can do supernatural things. And he did go up and beat Nate Diaz at 170. He lost to Nate Diaz at 155. And he felt when he was hitting Nate, he couldn't hit him hard enough to knock a big guy down. So it's probably better to fight at 170. He's obviously trying to bait Conor into something. We've heard rumors of Conor and Cowboy Cerrone going first. See about that. I think Conor would have an advantage over Cowboy Cerrone, so we'll see. I don't know. There's a lot on the table for 2020, though. It's pretty exciting. I just hope a bunch of these get done in the way that the fans deserve, because it's a pretty exciting just sort of round robin you could have of these guys fighting, because every one of these guys, true to the belt's title, are real fighters. They're not there just to collect checks. They're there to pump it all up and go all the way to where Nate Diaz is, getting X number of stitches on his face and mad that they stopped it.
Dan Wetzel joining us. To that point, Dan, it's such an exciting time, and there's so many great matchups. Saturday night was also the Kovalev-Canelo fight. What do you make of the decision to not start the boxing match until after the UFC card was finished? What does that tell you about where those two sports are right now?
So I don't know the numbers, but I'm guessing they didn't have many pay-per-view signups. That UFC dominated Canelo. They never should have put that on the same night. It wasn't smart for boxing, but clearly they underestimated you should never underestimate the appeal of a Nate Diaz fight. He always does huge numbers. He has huge popularity that just surges up. And so it was a bad idea, but this was a complete victory for MMA. I mean, it was an amazing night for mixed martial arts. They don't back down. Boxing puts their top guy up, Canelo Alvarez. They're forced to wait until the end of the UFC card to even put the fight on because they're worried about no one's going to buy the last second. They literally, during the hour-and-a-half break, asked the UFC if they can pump and put the UFC card up on the big screen in Vegas for their fans to watch so they don't get bored during the break. The president of the United States is at the UFC. We've never seen a sitting president or any president, former or anything, ever attend a mixed martial arts event, an historic moment for the sport of acceptance, regardless of your political leanings. Like, presidents go to baseball games. They go to basketball games. They go to, you know, football games sometimes or whatever. They never have been to a sport like this. Sport was banned in New York until 2016, and all of a sudden there's a president there.
Right.
And like that is, and he's obviously there because he's friends with Dana White, but also he's trying to get votes. I mean, that's what politicians do. I don't fault him for that. But the fact that anyone cared about these people as potential voters is new. MMA fans were just like, no, those people don't vote. They don't read. They breathe through their mouth. No, they're actual people. And so it was an astounding, just complete whitewash of UFC over boxing. And it's too bad because Canelo's performance, I didn't get to see it. I was covering this fight, but obviously it was an exciting fight, and Canelo had a great performance. So really bad move by boxing to go head-to-head with a Nate Diaz card. This wasn't just any card. I think when you got Nate, when you've got Conor fighting, and maybe now you got Masvidal and maybe a John Jones or something, you got to back off because you're not going to get the attention that you think you should.
Dan Wetzel joining us. Dan, one last thought, if you don't mind, before you go, and I appreciate your thoughts on all that. When you consider, college football note, when you consider where Florida State was when Willie Taggart arrived, and the fact that he has been fired after only a year and a half, the fact that it's another African-American coach who was fired quickly, what kind of thoughts do you have?
You know, I think I don't know. It's hard. His teams were really playing poorly. They were last in penalties last year, or first, whatever, however you want to do it. They're nearly last and first this year. They're losing every game. I think it's always disappointing when you see a really quick pull in college football, and particularly with a guy who, you know, I know Willie Taggart a little bit, and he is a super impressive guy and the kind of person you would want leading your program other than the wins and losses right now. And so to just pull the plug in the middle and not say, hey, let's see what happens the rest of the way. You know, like, just this is different. No one was saying they were going to fire Jim Harbaugh 3 weeks ago. But 3 weeks later, and all of a sudden you're looking going, hey, Michigan's not looking that bad. The season may not end up that bad. They're going to go 9-2 heading into Ohio State. What if they beat them? Then you're 10-2. You had a pretty good year. You're certainly not going to fire them. They were going to fire Harbaugh. But if you give Willie Taggart the time and say, let's see, maybe you can beat Florida at the end of the year. Maybe you get some momentum recruiting. Let's see what happens. So I always think it's disappointing. That said, he's getting $17 million. There's a lot of other people to feel worse about when they lose their job. And the one thing about Florida State, it's so geographically isolated. It is hard to sell tickets in that huge stadium unless people are willing to drive 2+ hours from Jacksonville, 3+ hours from Orlando. They're so far from the population center that when you start losing, the stadium gets empty. And that is part of the deal at Florida State. You have to sell tickets. You have to create revenue because it's a big business that teeters on. It must be winning. And so that's part of the job at Florida State. So I have a lot of just kind of mixed feelings on it.
How about this? One last thought. You and Pete Thamel were talking about this on your podcast. How bad do things look right now for Clay Helton at USC?
So somewhat similar, certainly. Clay Helton's not geographically isolated, but once you start losing at USC, no one starts showing up at the games. There just isn't that kind of fan base that's going to turn out. And I don't see how he survives this. He wins out. He's 8-4. Is that good enough? They've got a new AD. They've got a new president. Can USC make a real push for a James Franklin, for an Urban Meyer, obviously, which I guess is the ultimate goal, but probably a pipe dream for Matt Rhule? Who can they get? Again, USC and Florida State, these are jobs when you get the right coach, you can compete for national titles very quickly. And these are the schools, not just that get good, but when they're really going, have historically great teams. And that's why taking these jobs, you have a great chance, but they're going to pull the plug on you in a hurry. because you have so much is given to you, so much is expected.
So, Dan, really quickly, I'm trying to let you go for 5 minutes now, but if, in fact, Urban Meyer's a pipe dream, is it because he thinks that he could do better than USC, or he's not sure he wants to coach?
I don't know if it's a pipe dream. I think it's all about whether he wants to coach. I don't think he thinks he can do better. It's you can't really do a lot better than USC, and USC is a great job for coaches for a number of reasons, but coaches love that job and the idea of that job because of the recruiting. You don't have to be on a plane all the time recruiting. The recruiting wears these guys out more than anything else. And if you're at USC, 12, 15 players in your recruiting class, you got in a car and drove to their high school and recruited them. Now, granted, with L.A. traffic, that could take hours. But maybe
it's a good point.
So it's not all perfect. But you're not just constantly flying somewhere, flying all over. They're right there. Modern day, turns out, gives you a five-star quarterback every other year. And so the advantages aren't just you can get a lot of great players, but you're the hometown school. And there's no other major college program that has that. Even Texas and stuff like that, there's only so many players at Austin. Yeah, you got to go around the state. You can literally go recruit. You're at home visit with two five-star home visits, and you're back in your own bed that night. So there's just a tremendous interest in that. Plus, it's not all encompassing. You go to a restaurant, you're the fifth biggest star that's sitting at this restaurant. No, you know, it's not everything is boiled down to you. You have to win, but it's not that fishbowl that you get if you're coaching in Tallahassee or Tuscaloosa or things like that. So we'll see if Urban Meyer's ready to make that jump. If he is, SC is a perfect job for him, but I don't know that that's going to be the case.
I think you're right. Number one, you do not have to fuel up the jet to get to Mater Dei. And number two, you're right. There are lots of other things going on in this town, so you're not in that fishbowl. He is a Yahoo Sports columnist. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He's the co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast. Good friend of the program and stayed a long time today. Dan, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Always as long as you need me, Jim. Thank you.
That was great. Dan, thanks so much for covering so much ground with us. Dan Wetzel. 1-800-636-8686. Masvidal and Conor McGregor. You know this is a big Conor McGregor house, although Conor's got to prove that he's once again locked in, focused, dialed, wants to fight. If Nate Diaz could not handle Masvidal, how the hell is Conor McGregor going to handle Masvidal? And we didn't get into the sound. Alvin's been carving some of that sound up. I've got it for you a little bit later on. Masvidal made some rather amazing comments in the post-fight presser, which goes back to what Dan Wetzel said. This guy's a star. He's a star in the way he fights. He's a star in what he says. And he's such a compelling figure. But his point was, I don't think that, quote, little man wants any part of this. And I don't think that Dana White wants that little man to have any part of this. And he used more choice statements than, quote, little man. However, put aside how he said it, I think he's right. I don't think Conor may want the paycheck that comes along with that. I don't think Conor wants any part of Masvidal. He's too big, he's too strong, he's too powerful. The same sort of things I was saying about Nate Diaz. And Nate Diaz is bigger than Conor. Nate Diaz obviously gave Conor a lot of trouble. All of a sudden, Masvidal, who 2 years ago was just a guy, is now calling the shots. Now he's got the hammer. When we come back, more on that. Deshaun Watson. How is this guy doing this? What kind of fuel is he running on? I'll get into that, too. And how about a phone call? How about a good phone call? 1-800-636-8686. It's Monday, so let me ask you the question. Do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Do you love money? It's a great combination. So get with the program. Get on down to Hooters. Catch the game. Play Monday Night Moneyball every week. You are just a few questions away from making some money. You can win cash prizes. You can win free Hooters food and drinks. It is easy to play. It works like making prop picks. Like, who's going to win? It might be you. It could not be any easier, and it's free to do. So, you love wings, you love ice cold beer, and who doesn't love the world-famous Hooters girls? There is no better place to get your sports fix. Get in on the action. If you've got game, head to Hooters. Watch all the games, eat, drink, play for all the dough with Hooters Monday Night Moneyball. It only happens at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyBall.com. Register right now, then head to Hooters for every game all season long.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Strange weekend. Another weird weekend in the NFL. Packers come to SoCal and get punched in the face by the Chargers. They had to have it, and they showed up. See, that's the difference, right? The Chargers had to have it, and they showed up. The Browns, as an example, had to have it and didn't show up. The Jets, as an example, had to have it and didn't show up. Sunday, the NFL on CBS is featuring the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs had to have it, and they showed up. Chiefs taking on the Titans. Or you'll get an NFC encounter between the Lions and the Bears. All beginning with JB and the fellas. The NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. Best show on TV. All right, so let me finish the thought on Masvidal. I know I've been really heavy on that, and we hit that pretty hard last segment, but it's that compelling. I thought that Dan Wetzel did an amazing job of laying out what it's like for boxing to try to go head-to-head with MMA, and what a terrible decision that was. That the biggest name in boxing, Canelo Alvarez, and who looked really good, didn't have a chance. Like, they literally did not start their fight until the entire card ended. That tells you the difference between those two sports right now. So if you didn't know it before, now you do. Jorge Masvidal is 1BMF. And after beating Nate Diaz on Saturday, he's got the belt to prove it. The one thing is, again, it didn't end the way we wanted it to end because Masvidal won that fight when the doctor stopped the fight after the third round because of the cut over Diaz's eye. I mean, cut's not really fair. It's more like a gash. Masvidal had turned what had been Diaz's eyebrow into the Grand Canyon. It was inside out. Even Dana White admitted that initially he was not in favor of the stoppage until he saw the eye.
His eyebrow was literally flipped over in front of his eye, and he had another huge gash under his eye. And then I started thinking, you know, it's easy sitting over there in my chair thinking, you know, the fight shouldn't be stopped. And the reason we love Diaz so much is because, you know, he's so tough and durable and everything else. But I don't know. These things happen and didn't look good. Yeah, it didn't look good.
No, it didn't look good, and it was pouring into his eye. But of course, Nate wanted to continue. And of course, Masvidal wanted to continue. He had waited in limbo before the fight to see if it was even going to happen. And then Diaz reportedly failed that test. And then when it was on, Masvidal was on. And he wanted to finish what he started. But aside from the ending, everything about that night was perfect for Masvidal. Remember, this is a guy who started in the Miami street fighting scene. He worked his way up to Saturday night, where he was fighting in Madison Square Garden. He had Roberto Duran walk him out before the fight. He had The Rock give him the belt when he was done. How do you sum that up? How do you sum that up? With lots of four-letter bombs.
Now I could elaborate a little bit more on it. Awesome, man. The Rock, my favorite action star, put The Rock, the belt, I mean, my favorite fighter of all times. Walked me out. That's insane, man.
You see a thing about Masvidal. Even if you didn't watch that or if you don't know this guy, listen to him. So you want to hear more, right? When you hear him talk like that, you want to hear more. And then the damage that he left on Nate was insane. There was the elbow and the kick in the first round that dropped Diaz. Then there were the hands, the hooks, the body shots in the rounds that followed. There was no doubt he dominated that fight. Nate Diaz is a BMF. But Jorge Masvidal was the baddest BMF on Saturday night. The only thing that fight was missing was the ending that everybody wanted so badly. Two BMFs battling to the finish until one gets finished. Until one gets finished, one gets knocked the hell out. But instead, neither one of those guys finished the fight. The doctor did. And of course, Nate thought the call was wrong. And so did Masvidal, and so did everybody in the arena who was booing. And the fact is, there have been guys who've been allowed to continue with worse cuts. Dan Wetzel made the point that if that goes down in Vegas or California, they probably do allow that. But there was no doubt who won that fight. There was no doubt who was winning the fight through three rounds. But again, Nate Diaz would argue, I get stronger as the fight goes on. I'm better in the championship rounds. Masvidal called it his Picasso. The only thing that bugged him was he did not get to finish painting it. Quote, for a fact, I told Nate right now, let's run it back. UFC, make it happen. Let's run it back. I don't like to leave the ring like this with my opponent conscious. There's only one way to do it, and that's to baptize them. And I didn't get to baptize Nate, so we're going to run it back, end quote. Again, the thing about Masvidal, it's one thing for guys to talk tough, one thing for guys to run their mouths. And dude, this guy backs it up. This guy is cold-blooded. This guy is violent. So when he talks about baptizing a guy, and when he talks about a guy, it being unsatisfactory to him because the guy didn't leave the ring unconscious, the cage, you know he means it. So no, he did not get to baptize Nate. Most guys are thrilled to walk out of a cage with Nate. Masvidal is pissed that Nate walked out. See, that's the thing. He's not just a hitting machine. He's a quote machine. The guy drops lines as easily as he throws elbows, and they are great lines.
I don't want nothing to take my greatness to say some guy tripped on the pebble and that's how I beat him. That's not me. I want to end him. I want to send him off to another dimension. I got nothing but respect for the dude, but that's the type of artwork I like to do. I didn't get it on this one. Are we going to rematch tomorrow, next week? I don't know, but it will happen at some point, you know.
Hey, listen, say what you want about Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor made a name for himself, made a lot of money for himself by running his mouth, by being a showman, by promoting. Masvidal is doing it he's doing it the same thing, but in a very different way. You know, he's not that guy who's full of bluster, and he's not that great showman. He's a showman of a different sort. But when this guy talks, you can't help but listen. Everybody wanted the ultimate ending to the ultimate fight, and we didn't get it, and that does suck. Nate Diaz wants the rematch. He told Brett Okamoto after the fight that he believes he will get it unless the UFC steps in and prevents it.
You believe Jorge when he says that he'll run it back, he'll give you a rematch?
I believe everything until these guys at the UFC get in his head and start switching raw like they've done in the past. That's my main objective since the fight ended, is getting the fight done. That's my next move. That's what's going to happen unless they're all f***ing like they have in the past.
Why would they do that? Why do you think that they would go against you and not make a rematch?
I've been here before. So I feel it. I feel it slowly start to creep in it. And I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to start being like, we got other things in mind. But I refuse to be quiet about that. We're going to fight again, and that's my next move.
But again, with Nate, you never know if that's his next move. He could fight again, or he could go away for 3 years. He's done it before. And then Masvidal, he's gone from being a peripheral figure to the center of the UFC universe. And now he can pick his spots. If there's not a rematch with Diaz, there are other options for Masvidal, namely Conor. So in the post-game presser, post-fight presser, he was eating pizza with two slices in one hand. The topic of a possible fight with Conor came up, and he responded to that the way that you would expect him to respond to that.
Conor McGregor said that he is going to come back January 18th. And Dana White said...
Come back to what?
To MMA, to the UFC.
What do you mean, like fighting in the cage?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That dude's been talking that little guy up, man. He's a midget. Dana White, president of this motherfucking company, said I'm too much man for him. I get it why people want to see him hurt for the stunts he's been pulling. But he don't want this. He's just talking so you get his name out there. He was cheering for Nate. He wanted to run it back with Nate. You think he's at home seeing that fight saying I want to fight that dude? That dude ain't. You see, he punches old people in the face because those are fights that he could win. He don't want this.
Just lastly for me, Dana
change. You know he doesn't want this. Dana and them might try to promote it. I don't even think Dana's going to promote that fight because that dude, you can't get that guy to sign the paper.
See what I'm saying? I'm making this point to run this out there because I think a lot of you do not like MMA, do not want to talk about MMA. Did you hear this guy? Have you ever heard an athlete talk that kind of junk? But again, he's not just talking junk. This guy backs it up. I want to reset that really quickly for 1 second when we come back, and then we'll move on. That is an unbelievable exchange and some incredible comments post-fight from Masvidal. Ken Niumatalolo next hour. I'll get to Deshaun Watson. Right now, I've got a sports update. Sorry I ran heavy, but I want to get that in. Here you go.
California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's pretty wild, isn't it? I spent the entire first hour on the NFL, and I could easily spend this entire hour on MMA / UFC. That's how big that is. You want to come into Hooters every Monday all season and play Monday Night Moneyball, you are only a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes and Hooters freebies and a new chance to win every single week. Plus, Hooters girls make every game more fun. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. All right, some quick reaction, and I want to reset and finish that thought. Dear Jim, Nate Diaz getting his ass ragdolled for three rounds and then saying that he was about to turn it on and win is 100% believable and true to me. Yours? No one out pizzas the Hut. Brett from Buggahaw. Wore the entire one game it took for the Lakers to find their groove. Wore, and I never thought that I would say this, Dwight David Howard II. I never thought I'd say this, Brett, but that's a pretty good email. All right, except for that part about Nate Diaz. It's actually true. I'm not saying that Nate Diaz would have won that fight if they let him go, but Nate Diaz does get stronger. Nate Diaz, I said this before the fight. I said the problem for Nate Diaz is Masvidal starts quickly, ask Ben Askren, and Nate Diaz starts slowly. He always starts slowly. Nate does depend on his superior conditioning. Nate is great in the championship rounds. That's not that far-fetched. I don't think he would have won that fight. Masvidal was dominating that fight. He won all three rounds. But it's not that far-fetched to say that Nate could finish and rip that fight late. He's done it before. I never thought that I would say this either. War Dwight David Howard II. Dwight looks awesome. Dwight, man, I can't believe it. Dwight is totally reinvigorated. That's the opportunity in front of him. The guy looks great. And he looks great on that team. I love what I'm seeing from Dwight. And the Lakers look really good suddenly. Maybe tomorrow Dwight gets his day. I'll give him a take. I'll give him a positive rant. Wells in the 360 tweets, only one person knows if Masvidal v. Diaz should have been stopped because of injury. Trevor Price, MD. This guy hits on something I wanted to hit on. Damn, Jimmy, can you imagine the trash talking if McNugget and Street Jesus share a presser? Can't wait. It'd be the greatest tour ever. You imagine that? Quote, McNugget and Street Jesus? Except Masvidal's whole point is Conor McGregor does not want any of this. But when he says that, what he really says and what he really hopes is, I hope he does want some of this because he knows that's where the biggest payday is. My favorite part, though, of that entire thing is Masvidal smashing pizza while he's talking junk. Because part of the problem was when he found out that Nate was not going to fight, he went on a pizza binge. And then when he found out that Nate was going to fight, he had to cut weight and was kind of pissed and was talking about, man, I want that pizza. Like, my man couldn't even wait to get to a pizza joint. And not only that, not, I'm going to go get a steak. I mean, who knows how many millions of dollars he made for that fight. He wanted pizza, and he wasn't even going to wait for the pizza. Give it to me now. I'll double fist it, and I will talk junk about Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor has said that he
is. Hold on, Alvin. Listen, you can hear him eating the pizza. You can hear him eating it.
Conor McGregor has said that he is going to come back January 18th. And Dana White said.
Come back to what?
Come back to what?
What do you mean, like fighting in the cage?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That dude's been talking wild for a second. If he fights and gets a victory, and he wants this, and some of you motherfuckers are mean, man, because you know what the fuck I'll do to that little dude, bro. I'll fuck that little guy up, man. He's a fucking midget. Dana White, president of this motherfucking company, said I'm too much man for him. I get it why people want to see him hurt for the stunts he's been pulling. But he don't want this. He's just talking so he can get his name out there. He was cheering for Nate. He wanted to run it back with Nate. You think he's at home seeing that fight saying, I want to fight that dude? That dude ain't. You see, he punches old people in the face because those are fights that he could win. He don't want this.
Just lastly for me, Dana did kind of change.
You know he doesn't want this. Dana and them might try to promote it. I don't even think Dana's going to promote that fight because that dude, you can't get that guy to sign the paper.
I could do an hour on that alone. An hour. When that reporter tried to interject, he cut him off and said, no, no, you know that that's not happening. He said, quote, if he fights and gets a victory and he wants this, some of you mother bleepers are mean. He's talking to the media. Some of you mother bleepers are mean because you know what the bleep I will do to that little dude, bro. I'll bleep that little guy up, man. He's a bleeping midget. End quote. That's not me. That's Masvidal. He punches old people in the face because that's a fight he can win. So he keeps saying he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want this. When in reality, that's exactly what Masvidal wants him to want because he thinks it's easy money. That's where all the money is. Masvidal. He's been hashtagging Domino's for weeks. My man. But Domino's was the piece of choice in college. How about you? Hawk? Oh, you didn't go to college. Never mind. What about... Sorry about that, Adam. Where do y'all... What pizza do y'all eat? And especially in college. So this guy could eat any pizza, and he's been hashtagging Domino's. You want to fight like that? Not only that, but like... that took nothing out of me. My face doesn't hurt. My mouth doesn't hurt. I mean, pizza, right? It's like hot sauce, burning hot pizza, and you're good. Yeah, bring it on, man. Give me my pie. Also, if you're in New York, I mean, I understand that you've got your allegiances and your loyalties, and maybe a guy especially, you know, as tough and as hard as Masvidal, maybe that's how he came up. I mean, I don't know what his deal is with Domino's. Maybe that's how he came up. Maybe that's what he knows. But, dude, you're in New York, man. You got some of the finest pizza in the world. In the world. And I can't help, and because it was a topic for a few weeks on the show, look at the juxtaposition. Nate is a plant-based guy. Remember when that positive test or that abnormal test came out, and Nate's whole point was, man, all I do, you know what I take? I take Whole Foods. Nate's a plant-based guy, and the guy who's smashing pizza in the presser just jacked him up. The plant-based guy. The juxtaposition of that's kind of weird, isn't it? That's wild. The pizza man won that fight in dominant fashion. Not the plant-based guy. So when you hear that, does that interest you? Does the sport interest you anymore? Because they're lapping boxing, and I love boxing, and I came up on boxing. But if boxing is taking one of its biggest fights of the year, or one of its biggest fighters of the year, and saying, oh no, let's not start that fight until they're done at MSG. What are you doing scheduling that fight against that in the first place? It's a bad, bad play. Bad decision on boxing's part. 1-800-636-8686. All right, not to give it away, but since we're talking pizza, why don't we talk Chicken Sando and how that might impact what happened? Deshaun Watson. How's this guy doing this? Deshaun Watson admits that when he got kicked in the eye, he thought that his eyeball got kicked out of his socket and that it dropped on the ground. He thought that his eyeball had fallen out, which is why when you remember that play, remember when he was adjusting his helmet? I think he was trying to catch his eyeball from falling out of his head. How is this guy doing what he's doing? Now we know. And I'll have that for you, too. Plus, a conversation with Navy head football coach Ken Niumatalolo. Masvidal. Quickly becoming one of my favorite athletes. Unbelievable, really. All right, we're coming right back with hour number three. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Stay tuned.